So they're turning down the music for you guys right now.
It's like I'm in Strange Things.
Yeah. Dude, like someone's up there watching Strange Things on the phone. Like.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Ryan McGonigal here, the founding forefather of Kapow Intergalactic Film Festival.
You're making such a presence.
Well, here, you'll be able to pass that on down.
It doesn't work.
Can I see this really quick?
Yo, I'm going to be getting that.
Hey, Ryan.
Just use it as a prop and then yell.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, use it as a prop.
Hello! It doesn't seem to be working.
Would you like to interview these guys?
This works great. Yeah. So I'm gonna start with you. What's your name?
All right. Hi. My name is Benjamin Stockham, and believe it or not, I'm 18 years old. It's true.
Which film did you do?
Me and.
I'm Merritt. Hello, I'm Merritt Layton. I'm 16, and we did Play Man together.
Awesome.
We also had my sister Marlo also helped animate it. She's over there, so.
Awesome.
Wow, that sounds epic. Ben did most of the art, and I helped write most of it and come up with it with him. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we came up with it in the car. We were trying to figure out why Batman was called Batman and Robin, like why are they just, because they're both flying animals, like why? And then we were just like, what about Spider-Man? Why are they all animals? We were trying to figure out why everything was going on. Why not Plane Man? And then we looked up Plane Man, and one of the first results had our friend Jacob's name in it. So we're just like, oh my God, Jacob's Plane Man.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, then we had, we just started spiraling together. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got bitten by a radioactive plane.
Yes. So, and we started theorizing about different vehicles and how they could be different superheroes. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really interesting coming up with the idea, so.
Yeah.
That's awesome, you guys. I love how just like the universe kind of lined things up for you.
Yeah.
You know, the way that that happened. It's astounding when you come across those magical moments in life and you just kind of follow it along, right? Which ones did you guys work on?
Absolutely. I loved Plain Man, by the way. That was one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's important.
Really? You did the same joke, right?
It's a good joke.
My name's Drew Lewis. I did Fan Man's Basement.
Dude, that was absolutely amazing. I'll put that out there real quick.
It was the only one starring an action figure, but I really loved the animations of some of the other ones that I saw, and it was really inspiring to be a part of a block of like such young filmmakers. I was just like blown away. So thank you guys for having me, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where'd you first get the concept for?
Oh, yeah, so good question.
Fan Man.
So Fan Man's Basement took me 2 years from start to finish, if you can believe that.
Wow. Were you the only animator?
I was the only animator for about 95% of the shoot, and then I brought on a couple friends, actually. Caleb's in the audience right there, another dude with the hat and the beard. He helped out for a couple weeks with some of the dialogue and stuff, but most of it was just by myself in my free time, all the free time I had, right? So I got the idea because I saw the action figure head sculpt of a Batman with the movable mouth, and I was like, I can make him talk. So I've been wanting to actually start a YouTube channel myself with this, like around the same kind of premise, but I was like, it's too much work. So I made a story about a guy starting a YouTube channel. And so it was made as a proof of concept for a series that I'm pitching right now to like networks and stuff.
Dude, I would absolutely watch that. That kind of reminded me of like a Robot Chicken on Adult Swim. Yeah.
You don't say? Yes. No, I think that's perfect. Honestly, that's kind of what we had in mind. That was like the network that we had in mind when we made it. So yeah, it's really cool that you said that. Yeah. Thank you.
It was awesome.
Cool.
So you did Brothers Day Out, right?
Yes. I'm Chris Mejia, and I'm 28 years old, and yes, I created Kevin the Red Cap, Brothers Day Out.
Oh, I love that one. That was another one of my favorites.
Yeah, It took me 2 years to animate the whole thing, like, by myself, so I pretty much did the 100% of the whole film. And I went to a university to study it as an animation major, so it's like I learned, like, the art side and the illustration and, you know, like, the animation knowledge actually pulled back from high school because we had, like, an animation class that was, like, kind of all bare bones and stuff. And that's where I made some animated cartoons, and like, hey, you know, maybe if I make some cartoons, maybe Nickelodeon will hire me or something, which never happened. But
hasn't happened.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So the inspiration behind Brothers Day Out was really more like growing up with my siblings here, because we would have like these adventures when we were younger, going out places and, you know, having these silly, wacky situations. And, you know, I just thought like and I would make comic books out of them, you know, based off of the lives of the four of us. I mean, the other one isn't here present at the moment, but the two younger siblings right over there, my sister, Stephanie, and my little brother, back here, so that's like basically like the inspiration, like, of the idea, hey, what if we, like, I imagine, hey, what if, you know, if I saw ourselves as cartoon characters, you know, going to, like, having these, like, these adventures, like, in, you know, like, that's like a loose interpretation of, like, the real world in a way. And that's where Brothers Day Out came along, because it was more based off of the four of us going to a Dave & Buster's arcade and playing one of the arcade games.
That's awesome, man.
Really cool. That's awesome. So
yeah, it was like two parts. It was like in two parts. Like, it's like one. Yeah, it was like a laborious set, but it was all worth it in the end, because, you know, when it was presented at the Cal State Fullerton, that's where I attended to. Mm. People loved it, so.
Yeah, it was great.
Excellent. So Grayson, where did you get that? Nobody can probably understand where you got the motivation or the inspiration for your.
I watched Saturday Night Live. I was like, hey, I can steal that. No, I just like Chris Farley. He's actually one of the people that got me into acting. So I was like, hey, let's honor him by doing my favorite skit by him, except adapting on it. Why not?
That's cool.
I don't have any. I have so much free time on my hands. I don't have anything else to do.
Can you imagine that as a series?
Sure. Why not?
What's your next project?
Well, let's see. I did Black Pumpkin. I did American Horror. So I don't have anything up right now.
So you got everything off the bucket list already?
Yeah, kind of.
Wow. Now you can retire. Or go to Disneyland, either one of the two.
I mean, I'm down. So, are you paying?
So are you drawn to horror films, or what are your favorite genres?
Comedy. Easily comedy. I'd say comedy, action, horror, then drama and romance, which is like the bottom of the list. And ironically, I do drama a lot.
So do you have any plans of doing animations, like the voices? I think you're really good at impressions.
Hello!
Did I just hear a microphone?
The voice of God. Hello. The voice of God hath boometh.
Okay,
boometh through
don't
the heavens.
It's a prop now.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Now it's
working.
Okay.
That's so if we get
rat battle, and go.
You never know what's going to happen at Kapow. That's the beauty of it.
I do have one more project. It's called NC-16. We are doing the script, by the way. I'm going to just say that. But what was the question about earlier? I got lost in train of thought.
Wait, did you say NC-16? You won't be old enough to watch it.
No.
No.
No, I don't
think so. So you're inventing a movie that you're not even going to be old enough to watch?
Exactly. No, that's the name of the movie, NC-16.
Oh, gotcha.
Or TV series. Sorry.
Oh, TV series. What is it based on? Are you allowed to say at this point?
I don't.
Do your lawyers say it's okay?
No.
Okay. Very good. So it's about a guy who's out there in the world.
It's about teens. That's all I can say.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I like it. That's good. That's good. Any new projects for you? Could you hand it to that guy? Any new projects for you in the works?
I have ideas.
Oh, yeah? What tiny giblets of information would you like to share with the populace?
Teens.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
There you have it.
Put that in your thesaurus.
You heard it here first.
See, new thoughts are born here at Kapow all the time. You never know what's waiting around a corner, do you, Grayson?
God, no, not with you guys, no.
Very true, very true. So, do you like doing voices for animations?
I do, actually. I like doing impressions. I mean, people tell me they're good.
Who's your favorite impression?
I like to do Scottish impressions.
Well, let's listen to him.
Yes!
Okay. Let's listen to him.
All right, what should I say?
Talk about animating.
All right, so animating is really hard. You draw a picture, and then you draw again, over and over again, hundreds of times, thousands of times. And honestly, it's pretty fun. I like it.
Oh, that's good. Do you do impressions as well?
No, I don't do impressions, but I like doing voices. I'm actually working on the reboot of She-Ra and the Princesses of Power for Netflix right now.
You're doing the voices on there?
I'm not doing She-Ra, I'm doing Frosta, but I can't say much about the character itself, or I don't even know if I'm allowed to do the voice, but I love doing voices for characters. I love looking at characters and thinking, what would come out of that face? Mm-hmm. I love doing mm-hmm. that. It's one of my favorite mm-hmm. things to do. And I also love doing Plain Man because we got to like design the characters for like it was like a crazy experience because I've always been like the one behind the mic and not seeing everything happen, so it was really cool.
Were you there with the animation process? Did you two animate it and do the voices?
We didn't.
We both did voices. All of our friends did voices as well. Yeah. He did most of the animation along with my sister Marlo. Yeah. And we also we couldn't do it all by ourselves, or else it would take it like way longer. Yeah. So we got someone to help us animate like all the basic stuff, and then we find. Like they wouldn't have fine-tuned it. I'm not good at drawing. I just like doing voices.
You know, I just had this idea. I was just inspired by an idea. You know, in the old Scooby-Doo episodes where, like, Batman and Robin would show up, or, like, Bette Midler or, you know, someone like that, they'd come out of the shadows. Like, what are they doing on Batman and Robin, or on Scooby-Doo? What if John Foley appeared with a team-up with Plain Man, and they have to, like, he has to motivate, like, a Godzilla creature or something. Plain Man could just fly around his head.
Yes, like, you know that episode of Fairly Odd Parents where it, like, collabed with Jimmy Neutron? Like, that was
they
crazy.
Did that? Where the worlds crossed over?
Was so weird, because they, like, switched art styles.
I love when stuff
Jimmy
happens
Neutron
like that.
Neutron Power. No, Timmy and Jimmy Neutron Power Hour. It was great.
It was amazing. So
did that help inspire your animation?
Well, not that in particular, but, we had kind of, like, a wacky, zany thing going on that I could definitely, like, see, like, Fairly Odd Parents or something like that doing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Let me ask this young man something.
Yes, sir.
So, what new projects do you have in the works?
New projects. Well, let's see. I'm trying to sell Fan Man's Basement, which is in and of itself, like, a full-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then aside from that, so this is, believe it or not, like, my 10th short film. So I would just encourage you guys to just keep making them. Just keep going as much as you can about anything that excites you and like just sparks that creativity. Just explore it. And so I'm definitely want to work with actors again. I worked with an action figure for 2 years, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I need to work with people.
Yeah.
Again. So I have a story. I don't want to get too much into it, but it's more of like a crime drama. It's more serious because I have a feature that's written in sort of the same vein, so I'm trying to showcase that a little bit. But it's basically a story of a $20 bill exchanged between 5 different characters, and there's like a different transaction between each.
Oh,
each
cool.
So kind of a basic premise, but yeah, so that's a short that I'm hoping to shoot by the end of the year, early next year.
Have you thought about combining live action with your
stop motion stuff?
Action, yeah, action figure stuff.
I think that stop motion lends itself to really like adding it to live action and all sorts of genres.
Like Clash of the Titans and stuff.
Clash of the Titans, the old Hobbit movie, like all this stuff. You know, Star Wars, the original Star Wars used stop motion. I like it. I think it gives it like this weird, whimsical feel. Like the way that stop motion looks on screen is very unique. I think that I would love to make a music video that incorporated stop motion. I don't know exactly how it would work in a narrative unless it was like a dream sequence or something. But it's definitely something I think about all the time. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Did you want to make, how would you go about getting people to get a hold of Fan Man's Basement? I mean, have you just been sending it off to Adult Swim?
So right now it's on Vimeo on demand for now. It'll be released free as soon as we're done hitting the festival circuit. So it's doing really well in festivals right now. You can find it on fanmansbasement.com. You can also find it on my company's website, blackcanvas.com. You can follow us on Instagram. He's got an actual Instagram account, so you can it's in his voice.
Awesome.
So it's fun. It's at fanmansbasement, really simple.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So thanks, guys. Thanks for watching. Cool. Thanks for enjoying it. Like I said, it was an honor to screen amongst you guys. So
cool. Did I'm so sorry. Did any of you guys have questions? Does anyone out there have a question?
Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is that Instagram?
Yeah.
No, the Instagram is at Fan Man's Basement for Fan Man's Basement, but let's go down the line here. Here we go.
Grayson Thorne Kilpatrick.
Whoa, spell that. No, spell it.
Oh, GRAYSONTHORNEKALPATRICK. I know, it's a mouthful, right?
I'm at Ben J. Stockham, BenJStockham.
My Instagram is Merit Leighton. It's MeritLeighton. No double R, no double T. People always do that.
Merit.
Oh, and my Instagram is, Crispy Neotunes, and that's CHRISMEJIA. TOONS.
And while you got that microphone, real fast, what are some of your newest projects you're going to create?
Well, I actually made a second episode to this series by myself about a flying dog, and I was hoping to get a screen too along with Brother's Day Out, but I don't know. I think it didn't get picked up for some reason, but you can find it online actually if you want to check it out. There, it's called Cooking in the Sky with Balloons. And I'm moving forward to working on episode 3, and it's probably going to be the longest one in the series, another two-parter, and it's going to be about a party. And it's going to complete, what's going to be, a sort of a mini-series of short films that will act like a TV show in a way. Or, of course, it's a naive dream from a childhood I had, hey, what if, comic books actually end up looking like a TV show quality, and I think I managed to pull that off really well. But I have episode 3 worked on. I have the script ready, and then afterwards, I'm not sure what I'm gonna do with it. However, I could say that I'm thinking about wanting to make a movie out of it based off the characters, and then I have some original characters ideas, personal projects I have right now that it's kind of forming right now, and based off of original characters, not from real people, but characters coming out of my head, and I probably might do something either turn it into a comic book or probably pitch it around as TV series or something. So who knows?
That's fantastic. Well, you guys, we have to go now so they can clean up the thing. But thank you guys so much for coming out to Kapow, and thank you guys for submitting your stuff. This is so kick ass.
Thank you guys for having us.
You're welcome. Oh,
nice
thank you.
You guys.
Thank you.
Dude.
You have a story in your mind you want to write.
Right.
And you met this lady here.
And Jen here was the co-writer on Bloody Bobby. And so she basically gave the characters development, because if not, it would just be a bunch of death scenes.
Oh, I don't want to talk.
Talk.
Yeah, so Ryan. I'm not good at crowds. Ryan brought me in, actually, through Lisa, who is now left. We wrote a movie together. Somehow managed to scrape up enough money to get people to make the movie with us, and it took a while, but now it's on the big screen, and very grateful.
That's right.
It's been a kind of a crazy ride. Once we got the money, we got the story, we had the casting. Mr. Clinton and I, kind of by virtue of being cool, got a part.
They were the only actors I knew.
Exactly. Yeah. Even though they're other actors, we didn't tell them.
There's something to be said for picking the low-hanging fruit once in a while.
Amen. Amen. But then we actually did the casting process, and this guy's got an interesting story about how he was cast.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, I do. I was
I was in the middle of shooting another independent film, and I had my wife's car, and I didn't have my headshots and stuff on me. So I literally...
Explain to them what happened.
I literally... go ahead. Okay, because when you do an audition, the biggest thing, I'm going to see like 40 folks, and the biggest thing is you're going to pick, I need a headshot, you write notes on it, and it's a total trade to have.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's a big actor, no, it's not to have a headshot.
Exactly, so I timed it where I could have left, you know, right at lunchtime, drove over from near USC area, hit the audition, and didn't have my headshot and resume on me, which, honestly, for me, something that never happened. So this is like the first time that's ever happened. I know it is a huge no-no. And so I was just like, you know, went in, did the audition, and I was going to have to get back for lunch was over, and they're like, hey, you know, Dave's like, get a headshot resume. And I was like, oh, you know, I felt like that actor that time, I'm like, I don't, you know, and I was always like, man, I'm never going to be that actor. Like, I don't have a headshot resume. You always have extras and stuff. That was like that dude at that moment. And I was like, yeah, I don't. And I was like, oh, shoot. You know, I'm so sorry. I'm like in the middle of shooting. I have my car, my wife's car, doing this, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, okay. So I was like walking out, left the room and everything. And then Ryan comes out, hey, man. So we want to wait to bring, you know, come back next week for the callbacks or whatever. And I was like, really? You know, he's like, yeah, just come back. I was like, same time, same place? He's like, yeah, same time, same place. So I was like, cool, you know? It was like, awesome, because Ryan came out and, you know, like, got me up at it. You know, better believe when I came back for the, you know, for the callback. I had my headshot and resume with me for real, so. But, so that was basically how that all went. But it was an interesting little story on that. Then, you know, obviously got the role and got to be able to team up with these guys and, great, you know, crew, great cast. We had fun on set, so blessed to be part of this family. You know, I had a really good time.
Awesome. And then after all it was filmed, we had some problems with production. Didn't get quite finished. Just Bloody Black Pumpkin, we filmed in April. It's on the screen today. Bloody Bobby took us about a little bit longer. Yes. Bloody Bobby took a little bit longer to get on screen from the moment we filmed it to the moment we... was in decades, right?
That's why it seems like a grindhouse, something from the 70s, because that feels like how long it took.
So this gentleman at the end, Chris, helped us with the end of it, kind of cobble everything together with his mastery of the computer.
We just had fun, and Ryan came and like, oh, let's do some sounds, let's do some fixes there. And then we found out like a lot of other things were need to be done in the film. So chose like a grindhouse view. Like, okay, that's the way to work it. Like, we have no cuts here, let's burn that film there. And some crazy sounds in it, and we have a movie. So that's basically it. And then, yeah, also work on Black Punk and sound score and all that stuff.
Right, so this is the third Kapow. We debuted our first Kapow, which was 3 years ago in Corona. And then Ryan had this idea of having let's do this again.
Well, so once Lady Bobby got picked up by Uncorked for distribution, we had a little momentum behind us. And they were really kind enough to write us an LOI for distribution for a sequel. And that's where Triangle Road Entertainment came on board. But this time, when I decided that if I was going to do a sequel, is I wanted to be the director, because if anyone's going to fuck up the film, it's going to be me. Because it's really hard just to sit there and fix someone else's mistakes for like 2 years. So instead of the grindhouse, we went with 80s style horror. And I tried to keep that going through the whole thing. But real quick, before Grayson, get up here.
Me?
Yeah, get up here.
Pork chop. So this time around, with it being like in the 80s, I wanted to have a younger cast, because Halloween is for little kids, and you get to try to kill little kids in a movie. So Grayson was actually the very first kid that we called in for Pork Chop. You know that, right? Yeah.
You want to kill me? Why?
And through him, we actually used him on the other like the casting reads. Like he just had it. So we just really were finding an Elliot that meshed with him. And is Dogan here? Did he leave?
Dogan, I think he left. Is Gemma here?
Oh, okay. Well, his mom's here, so cheer for Dogan.
Are any of the cast members still in the audience from White Pumpkin?
I think Joe left.
Joe left? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, wow. So I'm the only one here.
No?
No?
So tell us about the
Carolines. Couple things.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, the gracious story. Actually, we were doing headshots, and we had a description of what we wanted. And remember what you said when I sent you his picture for the first time?
He was perfect. He was it. It was like if someone sent me the character that I was like envisioning the entire time. It was like eerie on how much he was worked out.
But also you said, I hope he can act.
I hope he can act. we were able to shoot around that part. But
beat me to the punchline, sorry.
There you go. No, he was like awesome on set. It was like having like a little brother. And even parts in the that we didn't have written was him improvising. And it looked so cool on camera. We just like pushed
like
it in.
Kiss.
Yeah. The kiss, yeah.
Yeah, the kiss was completely improvised. I had no idea that that was even making it into the film, the kiss. They called me up like, hey, yeah, come to ADR. We want you to make the kiss more clear. What?
We had way too much fun in ADR.
And then the Carolee story?
Yeah, so we did the original cast of the main girls, and we had one drop out. And that was for the Ashley character, the one that gets ran over. And
microphone died.
So we go through a casting process again. It was like very limited because we were going to start shooting like in a couple weeks.
Yes.
So it came down to like two girls, and we at the New York Life building, and Brittany came and she didn't get the role. Hold on. And what ended up happening was in the next couple days, we had an actress that was going to play Carolee fall through from scheduling. So we just said, hey, let's call her up. She was game. So she shows up, and the first couple, like the second day on set, for us, she shows up and starts improvising lines that we didn't even have for her. And so, like, by the end of the day, I'm rewriting the story so she's the main final girl in Bloody Bobby 3.
Yeah.
So, there's an interesting story about the guy down at the end. He's not only the first one, he plays a twin, as you probably saw, and he's changed.
Metamorphs.
We get to kill Kirk twice.
Twice, which is delightfully nice. But it's funny how he changed, because he had to change his persona. Talk about how it was different to play both characters.
First of all, I just want to say you're all on my podcast right now. Second of all, your future selves are listening to this.
Play both characters. I mean, it was because you.
So I played both characters, and then Ryan said, we need you to look like... Like you're this conspiracy theorist guy and he's just completely, you went off the rails and he's just this miser and we want you to look, you know, just unshaven and long hair. And I said, well, can't we just do a long wig or something? Can I please just put a fake beard on? He goes, no, this is, you have to do it.
Production value.
And once I started growing my hair long and the beard, I started levitating and turning water into wine. And I'm like, what's going on? Listening to a lot more Alan Watts. And now I understand why John Lennon grew his hair long, right? It's the antennas to the universe.
Your big question, are you going to go back to short hair?
Three mohawks.
It's getting worse.
Maybe a tail.
The audience.
I think we ought to get John Marshall over here. There's John Marshall. Ladies and gentlemen, he's production designer
on both
Bloody Bobby and Black Pumpkin. Mike Schley, why don't you come down here too? He designed the stabbing cabin. He put this stabbing cabin together. So here, could you have John Marshall talk through this? Yo, yo, yo. Is this working?
Yo, yo. Just yell.
Yo, yo, yo. Oh, now it's working.
Yo, this is Ice T.
All right, now it's working.
This guy became known as Miracle Mike. On this one, he fixed everything that broke and created the stabbing cabin, and it was his very first time on a set.
Wow.
Had never done it before. I've been hanging around for 40 years, so first time. Have a chat.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. And it was a great experience. First time out, John here gave me a lot of responsibility and let me roll the ball along with Chris over here, and the Three Musketeers along with Kim, and we're missing one, Bika, wherever she is. She designed the Bloody Bobby mask, and we miss her right now, but it was a great experience. And if anybody out here could get on a film set, do it. You'll love it.
Can you guys talk about, you had a lofty budget to do what you did?
Oh, a huge budget.
The what?
A lofty budget.
The what?
He's only came here.
What budget?
Yeah. So, how'd you do this on money? There's a story behind how you found, we had a kitchen scene, but you had to come up with the money.
You want us to give away all our secrets.
Yeah.
For us, we're all family here.
The idea of the kitchen, what's interesting, we shot that actually in a garage. And the idea came to Mike and I while we were driving to work one day. And we're coming in and we're going, you know what, let's not try and make over one that exists. Let's go ahead and create one. Okay, how are you going to do that? We went on to what websites?
It was on Craigslist.
Craigslist and everything else. All those pieces were free. People were trying to get rid of entire kitchens. They were renovating, doing things like that. So we ran down, picked all that up. We actually did that for the cost of a stainless steel sink and 2 gallons of paint.
Wow.
So I was in San Pedro with them one day, and as we're driving, like, there's people just leaving stuff on the curb, and they're stopping. They're going through people's stuff just to see. And I think that's what ended up being part of, like, Old Man Levitt's house in the opening.
That was our biggest secret.
I just want to say something really fast about you guys, some magic trick that you did. There was a magic trick that happened. Another magic trick, if you don't mind me revealing this one. This is how we made the elephant disappear. There's a portion where we needed a gun case, and Mike goes, you know what, I'll be back in a couple hours, I'm going to go find a gun case. I'm like, you're just going to go find one just out there in an alley or something? He goes, oh yeah, I'll be back, don't worry about it. And sure enough, he came back with a gun case.
With a light.
Talk about manifestation of reality, that was awesome. With a light, yeah, with a light.
And it played really well.
It did.
Yeah, as everyone here knows, when you go out to do a film of this size, you've got to think on your feet. And whatever comes your way, do not drive past. You can always put it back on the street later.
Real quick, is my dad out there in the audience? Dad, why don't you come down? He played, if you remember, the blue-faced alien in Bloody Bobby. He's the blue-faced alien.
Give it up for them.
It was my first time being able to have any family members on a set, so it was quite an honor to be able to.
Just yell.
It was an honor. Aww. It was an honor to have my dad on the set. He was the one who had encouraged me ever since I was a little kid to just follow my dreams, follow my heart. Never tried to steer me in a specific direction, just kind of kept encouraging what my excitements were, just kept encouraging more and more of that. And so for me to be on Bloody Bobby, my first feature film, naturally I had to have him on set any way I could. And he even helped out with the set decorations too. And
Kurt was kind enough to credit me in there as a set decorator and the blue-faced alien.
Yeah. And also the eagle wrangler. I don't know if you noticed that in the credits.
But Bloody Bobby, before we were able to finish it, was on life support so many different times. And we had funding drop out. We did a crowdfunding campaign that really didn't go anywhere. And we got lucky enough to have some investors come in. And then we make this film, and then the director and producer decides not to finish it. So it's the people that kind of stuck with it from the beginning, or that stuck with it to get it to that end. And now it has a sequel. And what's even more amazing now is we're going to do a third one. And then next Kapow, there's going to be a documentary that we're doing called The Good, the Bad, and the Bloody, and it's going to document this whole time making these low-budget horror films. Because we have a lot of footage of us just crying and running around trying to make things work. Any question?
Are you going to have some merchandise? Can we get a Bloody Bobby doll?
We, especially with the second one, we do some Dr. Frank Gold Butter Zombie Bar candies.
Cool.
And definitely, even the producer of Black Pumpkin, after she kind of saw everything, goes, we need like Halloween costume.
Get all this from Bobby. Yeah. Get those buttons.
We're pretty much making a very low budget franchise, and just it's a lot of hard work when you're making like an indie horror film for like no money. But when you're done, you're very proud of yourself because there's some stuff that you pull out that looks amazing on screen. You're thinking, wow, like we did that, and it's just like thinking on your feet, and you know, no matter what, you're gonna be proud of it.
Yeah.
There are actually some Bloody Bobby dolls I have in a box.
That's right. We have teddy bears, too.
Teddy bears, yes, yes. For our fundraiser. Yes, for the fundraiser we had. Anybody get any other questions at all? Guys, thank you so much for coming out and seeing two films. If you guys can come out, get your picture taken on the backdrop, Kapow. We'd love to have you. Again, thank you so much.
All right, and then we also have Bloody Bobby up there, so if you want to take your picture next to the Bloody Bobby costume.
So my question is, can I get, like, free merch?
Free merch?
Yeah.
You know the Bible
thumpers? Who's collecting
more? I'll see you.
Congrats. It looks good.
Good stuff, man.
It's yeah, and it's still like not perfect because we have like all the audio that we did everything like in the last week just to get it on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like the edits somewhere there, you're gonna like just install me. It already has distribution and we're ready to go to like the next one.
You go Kurt on his show tonight?
I know.
No.
You're not working in there? I killed you, fucker.
Now.
We can have, like, in memory of, where we'll just show, like, YouTube videos of the pork chop joints.
We can just, like, take a bunch of photos of me with, like, around the place in, like, in memory of pork chop video and post it up on Instagram.
I don't know why you weren't up there, Nikki says. You were in it. I don't know where Kurt went. I have his phone. I think I turned it off because there's some foul language that was set up there just now. I think I turned it off. I was hoping they wouldn't talk about
it. I don't know. First off, it's really tough. Secondly, even if you make it, I don't know. I've never seen anything like you guys. That's fair.
Thank you so much.
Wait,
thank you so
much. Can my kids take a picture with you, Kurt?
I did some in school.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. Should we do it in front of that thing?
Okay, good thing.
Can I give you one of these nice little giblets?
What are those? Pins.
These are, these little buttons. Did I give you one?
No, give me one.
Oh, good, yes, absolutely. Did I give you one yet?
Here, Kurt.
Oh, yes, I did. Good to see you again.
Kurt.
Did I give you one of these yet?
Oh, no, you didn't.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, so good to see
this
you
is
again.
Oh, you're ready.
This is my friend Christina.
Yeah. Weren't you the set teacher?
No.
No.
What? How did I meet you? Did I meet you before?
Just now.
No way.
It's
you got a doppelganger out there. That's crazy.
It's a pleasure, Becky.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for coming out. Doug did great, didn't he? He was so good with his character. Oh, sir. Sir, excuse me, sir. Excuse.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, my God, your nails are awesome.
Aren't they cooler?
They're very cool.
Oh, my God.
I told her,
because
I
you want one
told
them about it.
Oh, you got one.
I oh, good.
About the... I had told her about...
oh, my God. How are you doing?
You came out to see the show.
I know, I did.
Oh, my God.
Here, just a second.
Oh, my God. Yes, it is.
And,
Oh my God, that'd be great. Yeah, a Force Ghost, maybe.
Is he busy?
Oh, did I give one of these to you?
Thank you.
Did I gave you one, yes. Oh,
yeah. I got a couple.
What are they?
There you go.
Stop your Frank Blue Butter Zombie Bar.
Oh. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you, no, did you get one of these yet?
I did not. This is the candy pin.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
I probably have a few, right?
There you go. I'll take another one.
Oh, I only have time for a Vintage reference. As you turn it. Oh, that's for you. That's for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did I get you one yet?
No. That's for you. Thank you.
Who are we missing? The gentleman with the white hair. What's his name? Oh, that's John Marshall.
Mike,
I did the production design.
You're welcome. Oh, there. Kurt, get in there. Quick, stop. Sorry.
Ask her.
Oh, sorry. Let's do it. Let's do it. Very good. Very good.
Oh, no,
I won't.
He's like,
please don't go.
Please
don't go. Oh, yeah. I think Jen is still holding my
Yeah, where's your dad? Right. Hey, where's your dad?
Yeah.
He's right there.
Where's Mike?
Hey,
Michael, show
Mike.
Please.
Mike.
Mike, please. Get your...
What's more than I'm looking for.
Awesome.
Charles.
That's for you. Did I give you one of these yet?
Even though you
yeah,
can't.
Yeah.
What?
Our deep depth.
Yeah. Griffin, too. Where's Griffin?
Oh, yeah.
Our department.
And where did Jen Mathias go?
All right. We're all here. I'm the only half Asian that you don't.
I did a burst.
The burst?
I did a burst, so someone blink first.
That's okay. Do it. You can do another one.
Another one?
Everyone blink.
Another picture. Great job. We won't melt.
Great. So
thank you.
Thank you. Even though our kitchen was in black and white, we still. We still. After all that painting.
Oh, yeah.
Black and white.
Get your photo together.
Sure. Yeah.
Pick a couple, Chris. And eat oxygen to this one.
Extraordinary perspectives. Dig it. Multidimensional.
Awesome.
Oh, let's do one of these. And then we'll get the carpet.
And I was like, I can't wait to create my avocado ingredients.
That's a real deal, folks. Look at that.
Black and white.
Oh my God.
Damn.
Where did these models escape from?
You know what's funny? You know what's funny about that?
Dude, you're so.
Yeah, I think
he is amazing.
Such a great
Thank
actor.
You.